Good morning and welcome to the June 30th, 2015 La Plata County Board of County Commissioners business meeting. Please note for the record that all three commissioners are present, Commissioner Blake, Commissioner Westendorf, and myself, Commissioner Lackholt. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. And a note for the folks in attendance today, if you are wishing to address the commissioners during public comment and haven't yet filled out a pink slip, please do so. They are located on the counter on the other side of the room, and you can get them to Jan, the clerk for the day. All right. Commissioners, the next item on the agenda is approval of today's agenda. If there are no changes, I would accept a motion.
Commissioner Westendorf, did you have any changes?
I don't.
Madam Chair, I would move that we approve today's agenda as noted.
All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. We have no minutes to approve today, so we will just get right to business with our public comment and input. Where am I? There we are. We are at the public comment and input section. We have one item under public comment today, discussion concerning county facilities planning. It's also an opportunity for any member of the public to address the board on an item that is not otherwise on our agenda today. So if there's anybody that wishes to address the board on any other item other than county facilities planning, now is your opportunity to do so. All right, sounds like everybody's here for one purpose. All right, staff report, please. And it's item number 2583, discussion concerning county facilities planning by Joanne Spina.
Good morning, Commissioners. Joanne Spina, La Plata County Administration. Thank you for making time this morning, and thanks to all the folks who are here to listen and offer comment to you about county facilities planning. As the board is aware, in 2012, the county completed a master plan which identified space needs for county offices now and into the future, and we've been using that as a tool over the past 2 years to identify different strategies to deal with the needs that were identified in the plan. So the first two components of that were this building, the county administration building remodel, which has provided this beautiful new boardroom, offices for the commissioners and administration, consolidation of our finance department, and space for the assessor's office, and a much-needed training room that we've already used a number of times since we moved in a couple of weeks ago. This project was completed, and the building was open for service on June 16th. The second step is the courthouse remodel, which, as you know, consists of the renovation of the first floor of the courthouse and a small addition in the lobby area to expand the secure entrance. And that will primarily accommodate the needs of the 6th Judicial District, which has expanded over the last number of years. And as you know, the county is obligated to provide court space for the state offices, the state judicial offices of the 6th Judicial District. That expansion will also enable us to co-locate and expand the offices of the Federal U.S. District Court within our community, and they will be, as I said, co-located on the first floor of the courthouse along with the other state court offices in the building. So this will enable La Plata County to address its statutorily mandated responsibilities to the 6th Judicial District, but we also believe that the relocation of the U.S. District Court and the expansion of that will help to promote economic vitality and, from a social justice perspective, increase access for victims, witnesses, litigants, and all those involved in federal proceedings that currently have to travel to Denver for those types of proceedings. Several of those proceedings will be able to be accommodated now at the new location for the U.S. District Court and the courthouse. We're currently in the design phase for that project, and we estimate that construction will begin in early 2016 and be completed by the end of 2016. So in April of this year, the board took a couple of other steps, next steps in the strategy for our facilities planning, and those included entering into an agreement to purchase the building at 211 Rock Point Drive in the Tech Center. That purchase price is $1.975 million. And as you know, the building consists of approximately 7,200 square feet of office space with on-site parking. There's currently a tenant in the building, and that lease expires on July 31st, 2018. We're currently in the due diligence stage for that transaction, and the closing is scheduled for August 6th. So our long-term vision that we've discussed with the board is to more closely integrate our building and planning department services to meet our community development needs. And this space we think is ideally suited for that more structured alignment approach to community development services. And the in your staff report, a number of the features of the building are identified. I won't go into the details of those here. We previously discussed those at the April meeting. Since the 211 Rock Point building is currently under lease, and since the county has a need to house building and planning department during the courthouse remodel, the board also entered into an agreement to lease space at 135 Burnett Court, also owned by the Gorton Family Partnership and located in the Durango Tech Center, just a short distance from the 211 Rock Point Drive building. And that would accommodate the building and planning department in the short term. Under this arrangement, the county has leased three of the four units there. It's approximately 6,800 square feet for a three-year period through May 31st, 2018. As indicated, predominantly our objective with the 211 Rock Point building was to house the building and planning department. That would be their permanent location. But the size of the building at approximately 1,700 square feet will somewhat exceed the existing space needs for those two departments. So there's an opportunity to consider co-locating the Public Works Department there as well. This would provide an additional convenience to our customers developing property who might utilize the services of all three departments as a part of their building project. The Public Works Department currently occupies approximately 2,700 square feet at the old main post office, and over the next few months we'll be evaluating the space needs of all three departments, building, planning, and public works, to determine if adequate space exists at 211 Rock Point to accommodate all three offices. In addition, other options may be explored for public works. The district attorney's office, also located in the old main post office, currently occupies about 7,271 square feet of space and is experiencing some severe space issues to meet its staff and operational needs. So the relocation of the Public Works Department to another site is key to providing the sorely needed additional space for the district attorney in the old main post office. The two most logical locations for Public Works are either to co-locate them at the Road and Bridge Shop, which is located on 1365 South Camino del Rio, or at 211 Rock Point, if there's adequate space, of course, to accommodate them there. Naturally, the preferable location for Public Works would be the Road and Bridge Shop. However, given that an expansion of the Road and Bridge Shop to house Public Works could exceed $1 million, at this point in time, we think if space is available at 211 Rock Point, it would be more cost-effective to co-locate Public Works with Building and Planning at this time. In any case, in order to make space available in the old main post office for the district attorney's needs, the relocation of some staff from the old main post office to another location would be required. So the other key element that the board entered into on April 14, 2015, that was a component of the long-term strategy, was a lease agreement with an option to purchase the building located at 10 Burnett Court, also in the Durango Tech Center. And we had in mind that as a location for the Department of Human Services. That building consists of approximately 40,000 gross square feet of office space and includes 136 parking spaces. The county has leased 8 of the 12 quadrants within the building. 4 of the units have an existing tenant whose lease expires in a staggered fashion, with the latest termination being on April 30th, 2018. This building is ideally suited to meet the needs of the Department of Human Services and will allow the consolidation of all Department of Human Services staff in one building. It will provide a convenient location for our department's clients, with parking, of course, and provides what we think is an ideal long-term location for the Department of Human Services. That property is currently owned by ENV LLC. And your staff report also lists a number of features of that building as well. At 10 Burnett Court, we've leased approximately 27,500 square feet on the first and second floors of the building for 3 years, beginning May 1st, 2015, and ending at April 30th, 2018. The county also has a right of first refusal on any additional space that becomes available at 10 Burnett Court during our term. At the same time that the board considered the lease agreement, we also entered into an option agreement with ENV LLC, granting the county an exclusive, irrevocable option to purchase 10 Burnett Court on June 1st, 2016. In order to do so, the county must exercise that option on or before January 31st, 2016. Should the county choose to purchase the property, the purchase price will be the greater of $8 million or the appraised value of the property. The terms of the acquisition, as you will recall, are more fully described in the purchase agreement the purchase contract that was attached to the option agreement. And as you're aware, the staff has worked with our long-term finance committee to consider several overall options for the county's long-term facility plan, and they've provided us some counsel and feedback throughout that process. One of their key recommendations was that the staff should identify every reasonable opportunity to reduce the overall costs of our long-term facilities plan. So the purchase of 211 Rock Point and the purchase of 10 Burnett were advanced as an alternative to new construction. By way of background, in 2003, the county obtained an estimate to construct a new 40,000-square-foot building across from the courthouse with two levels of office space and two levels of parking. At that time, the cost estimate, including design costs, was approximately $16.6 million. Factoring for inflation, that cost estimate could exceed $18 million in 2016 dollars. The total square footage of 10 Burnett Court, at a little over 40,000 square feet, and 211 Rock Point at 7,200 square feet is approximately 47,300 square feet with a combined 157 parking spaces. Consequently, the Long-Term Finance Committee and staff believe that the purchase of 211 Rock Point and the purchase of 10 Burnett at the minimum purchase price of $8 million provide value both in price and in product to the taxpayers of La Plata County. Even if the purchase price for 10 Burnett court exceeds $8 million based on the appraisal, it's likely that the combined purchase price will still be considerably less than the cost of a new building in 2016 and beyond. Having said that, we also evaluated a couple of other building options as well, and those are noted in your staff report. The first was the construction of approximately a 32,500 square foot building for the Department of Human Services in Bodo Industrial Park on property owned by the county at 679 Turner Drive. That's currently the location of our alternatives to incarceration program. The building size is limited by the lot size and the parking requirements, so we couldn't build a building any larger than 32,500 square feet based on our previous designs. We don't have current cost estimates for this project right now, but I've done some extrapolation that I'll share with you in a moment based on estimates we had done in 2007. The other option was to construct an addition to this building on the north side of the property, which we call the North Cab, in the area where there's landscaping in the parking lot now. And that could consist of approximately 24,000 square feet of office space plus 8,000 square feet of parking. That's a possibility if a variance is possible for a three-story building plus one level of parking. But it would be necessary to develop additional parking across on the vacant lot across from the courthouse to meet the parking requirements for both this building and a north addition to the cab. The cost estimate for that project in 2013 was about $10.8 million. Factoring for inflation, this cost estimate could exceed $12.3 million in 2016 dollars. And again, that would be for 24,000 square feet plus 8,000 square foot of parking. It will. The important thing, I think, for the board to keep in mind as we get closer to the end of the year is that it will be necessary for the board to make a determination on a course of action by the end of this year, by December. As mentioned earlier, the option to purchase 10 Burnett must be exercised by January 31st, 2016. So, again, attached to your staff report was just a synopsis of what we've just discussed here in terms of the facility planning strategy and the sequencing of those. And the staff report also identifies what the needs are that are addressed by each of those purchases. And I think I've outlined all of those in my staff report, so I won't repeat myself. But the other options to the purchase of 10 Burnett with the design and construction of the building across from the courthouse, or the design and construction of a North Cab building, or the alternative out in Bodo Industrial Park was a third alternative as three different choices from the option of purchasing 10 Burnett. The other key thing that we have not had much discussion about previously that that we can discuss today is the location potentially of Public Works, if adequate space exists at the 211 Rock Point building, to join their colleagues at the Building and Planning Department in that one location. So I think with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have, commissioners, and then we have a number of people, hopefully, who will want to offer you comment today.
Commissioners, questions?
I have no questions.
You had said that under your report regarding the space at Bodo 32 5, but you said you'd extrapolated some
yes,
costs.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. Yes, we had done some cost estimates of that building back in 2007, and the construction cost estimate at that time was $8.3 million. If we again extrapolate those numbers and estimate in 2016 with some additional design costs, and these are using 3% inflation factors for each of those estimates, we think it could be between 10.7 and 11 million for that project in 2016.
Madam Chair, I'd also like to just interject a point of clarification. I believe Ms. Spina referred to the number of 1,700 square feet for the Rock Point building, 211 Rock Point. There's been a lot of numbers that she's been referring to, but I believe the correct number is 7,200.
I thought that's what I said. It was 7,200, but yeah. If I misspoke, that's what I meant to say, it was 7,200.
Okay. Duly noted. Thank you. Yes.
And, you know, there's one other, it's a minor point, commissioners, but one I think worth noting, that when we talked about the features of the building, I think the staff report indicated that it was on the city bus route. I'd like to clarify that it's in the city's bus service area, but it's not directly on a bus route right now. Apparently, there's an on-demand service that's provided by the city to those locations. So I just didn't want to make a misrepresentation there about city bus service.
You know what on-demand means? Is it like the where, you know, like you can detour and go to Mercury Building on the bus into town? Is that what on-demand means? They'll pull off the regular route and hit that spot, but it wouldn't normally pass there unless someone requested it. Do you have any information?
But what I have from the city's website is that the by request only stops. The bus system is designed to allow certain stops at locations that are not widely used. If you're located at a by request only stop, there's a phone number to call, and they're allowed an amount of time. This indicates 30 minutes, but when our staff investigated it with the city staff, they indicated it can be as little as 15 minutes or as much as 30 minutes to be picked up. And the tech center is one of those locations, Monday through Sunday, that would have that type of service. And then, as I understand it, with respect to dropping off, again, I think when a person gets on the bus route, can request that to be dropped off at a location like that. So that's how I understand that works from the inquiry that we've made with the city staff. And perhaps there's someone there who can answer that more fully in the room today. Thank you.
Additional questions for staff? I guess I have one question. In terms of potential employee usage of public transportation to the tech center, do we have any understanding at this point of how many employees would utilize public transportation if it were available? I know it's difficult to gauge public usage.
Yeah, we don't. We really were thinking of that as much for our clients as anything else to ensure that there was accessibility there. But obviously, we'd have an interest in, you know, having that opportunity available for our staff as well. But I think at this point in time, it's probably wise for us to see how that demand system works and then, you know, take it from there once we've got folks in the building and we can see how that service functions as it presently exists before we would make any changes to that.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask Mr. Kirby, I think you're the right person to answer this question or just address it, and that is City View. I kind of view City View as having a role in this discussion as well. My understanding is that through City View, there will be more planning and building department services available online.
That is correct, and we have a presentation for the board scheduled for tomorrow to show you that additional functionality. But City View is designed to allow customers to more readily interact with our departments and to do business over the internet. For example, some forms of building permits can be pulled over the internet applied for over the internet. Builders can track their projects, the inspections that are being completed, and also from our planning department, applicants can review the status of their project online as well. So by the use of City View and us rolling that out, I believe that will result ultimately in reduced in-house traffic. Commissioners, while Ms. Spina was mentioning the public transit for the Durango Tech Center, I do want to make you aware that I did receive an email from Ron LeBlanc, the city manager of Durango, yesterday, indicating that if the county wanted to expand the service that's currently being offered to the Durango Tech Center from on-demand to some type of scheduled service, that the city would be willing to partner in making that happen. He did identify that that would potentially cost $75,000 to $85,000 a year if the county were interested in doing so. But that would be only if we wanted to transition from on-demand to some type of scheduled service.
Thank you. All right. If there are no further questions for staff, we can move on to the public comment.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you. All right. So I will open the public comment and input section of this agenda item on county facilities planning. We have a number of folks who have signed up to speak already. If you haven't filled out a pink slip, please do so. They are located on the counter in the back of the room, and you can hand them to Jen Mayor Golick, the clerk of the court today. All right, I am going to start, and I really appreciate everyone showing up today and everyone's interest in this item. We have quite a star-studded cast of La Plata County residents in the audience. I really appreciate everyone being here. I'm going to start with Mr. District Attorney Todd Risberg. Thank you.
Contacted by our assistant.
Can I make one note for members of the public? So that red light on your... Just so members of the listening public can hear adequately, the red light on your microphone will need to be lit. So,
there we go. All right.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Spina asked me to come and just tell you, give you an update on where we are and what we're hoping might happen. I think, you know, public safety is one of the core functions of government. That's one thing I think most of us can agree on. That's what the government, one of the things the government should take care of. Part of that is having adequate space to do our job. Right now, you've all been to my office and looked around, that the space is inadequate for what we have to do. You know, the 2012 study that was done as part of the space analysis, back in 2012, they said at that time we needed 10,000 square feet just to function, to do our job. You know, that continues to increase, but we have 7,000 square feet. So, you know, we're squeezed in now, and we're just completely out of space. We're spread over multiple floors, which makes it real hard to cooperate, to collaborate, to communicate with all the people that we need to work with every day. You know, you've seen the space upstairs where a lot of our attorneys work, with very small offices with slope ceilings and all kinds of potential environmental issues. It's hard to do the job in that setting. We don't have a meeting space that can fit our whole staff. We don't have an interview room. We don't have space to meet with witnesses. We don't have any storage. We have a vault for evidence that contained a meth lab in 2006 that is making people sick. You know, it's a tough place to work right now. And you know, I look at this building. I think it's wonderful. I'm glad we built this, and I think it reflects, to an extent, how government should operate. It's an impressive building. It's not overdone. It's just a nice place to work. You compare this our local legislative branch's building to our local executive branch building, my offices. There's no comparison. It's a dump. And that's where we work every day and keep doing our jobs, but we have to do something about it. The study said the DA space was a priority. We were in most need. That was 3 years ago. We're still there. We still have to expand. Since that study was done, the public defenders have expanded. They've gone from 5 lawyers to 12 lawyers or 11 lawyers. They have more lawyers than we do now, which is good. That's great. Everybody should have a lawyer, but we have to be able to keep up. We have to be able to meet our burden, and there's a lot more litigation going on. We need more staff. We need more attorneys, but that's a different issue. Our space in which we work is embarrassing. Victims come over and meet with the prosecutors, and think, this is really the people who are supposed to represent the people of the state of Colorado in this district. It's a hard place to get the job done. The plan, as I understand it, is to try to move engineering up into the tech center, which would be, it'd be helpful, but now we'd expand into 3 floors instead of 2, which makes it even harder to communicate, collaborate, to work together. We'll take any space we can get, but it's certainly not a perfect solution. We have an opportunity now to have a free lawyer come to work with us for a year. The state has started a program where rural districts can have a new first-year attorney come and work with us to be an attorney and be a prosecutor. We don't have a place to put that person. Literally, we have no space to put a free lawyer. So we're going to have one of our attorneys move to Pagosa Springs. They work a lot over there, work primarily there. So now one of our attorneys doesn't have an office in Durango anymore. That seems like a really bad way to do business, but that's what we're stuck with. So we need help. If it's getting us into the main floor as soon as possible, that's great. That's a help. And I understand that you all have a lot more information about decisions you have to make, but everybody in town sees those empty spaces across the street from the courthouse that the county owns and wonders why there's not a building being constructed there, put some office space in there. That would be the perfect space for a DA's office. Across the street from the courthouse, plenty of space. I know there are political considerations, and where does the money come from? But again, public safety should be a priority of the government. It's time, I think, and a lot of people that come to my office and say, what's going on over there in the parking lot right across the alley? It may be time to start that discussion. Can we build a new building downtown? Can we have proper office spaces for the executive branch? If we can have a short-term solution that means expanding into the main floor, we'll take it. But at some point, we have to find space for us to do our jobs. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. District Attorney. Any questions?
Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Bob Lieb, former county commissioner, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having this public hearing. I think it's great that, you're doing this to be able to get some other opinions from people. I will say that I have, watched the space planning with a great deal of interest. When you first came out with your plan that showed a $56 million facilities plan, I was I guess it was no secret that I became very alarmed at that and made my feelings known that I thought it was highly excessive and didn't need to go to that extent, especially when you look at the needs that the roads have, and that since has been well discussed and debated, and I think you're taking the right path relative to putting some more emphasis back into the Lapata County roads. But in the meantime, with regards to your facilities plan, having, as I said, watched it and having been critical of what you had wanted to do and put on paper, since that time, you have made some of the changes, i.e. what you're currently discussing today. And since I was critical of that, I thought it's only right that I come here today and tell you I'm very much in favor of what you are doing currently. One of the things that was in Commissioner Lackelt's online assessment was to put in place a reasonable, responsible, and cost-effective plan. And I believe if you look at cost-effectiveness, basically, you're not only the location of certain things, but what you pay for those square footages to where you're going to put it, what you're going to go out and buy. And, you know, I've done a little bit of analysis and look at, first of all, the 211 Rock Point, the 7,200 feet. But if you put that in terms of $275 a square foot, which is what you would be buying it for, in today's commercial market, compared to especially what you would have to buy a lot and build a building like that, that's a bargain. That's a good deal. And I think you, if you could buy it for that, if, I mean, when you do buy it for that, you're buying it for a good price because you couldn't build for the same price. If you look at 10 Burnett Court, again, I think that's an excellent move for Human Services to go over there. If you get it for $8 million, that's $200 a square foot. If you look at this building, just to, you know, encapsulate what you've done here, this is $450 a square foot. You know, it's an expensive building. But at the same time, you have an opportunity to take advantage of the economy on that building over there. And if you bought it for $8 million, you'd be at $200 a square foot. I don't think you could duplicate that anywhere in this town. If the price goes higher because of the appraisal, $10 million, you're looking at $250 a square foot. You know, again, that's a very, very good price. I think if even exclusive of buying a piece of property to put something on, you're looking at basic costs of $300 a square foot to build any quality office space today, probably even more than that, knowing that the county likes to build things that are going to last for a while. Okay, so I wanted to make those two comments to you. And make sure you understood that I'm fully supportive of you going ahead and exercising those options to purchase. I think it makes total sense, especially if you are currently looking at putting an issue on the ballot to raise money for roads, and if people see that you're being economical relative to your facilities needs, I think they'll rest a little bit more at ease knowing, okay, we'll help you on the roads because you've done the right thing somewhere else. And I personally think, and I'd be happy to be public about it, that I think you're doing the right thing with regards to making those purchases and using the advantage of an existing building. And again, both of those buildings are in, and you know, maybe the bus service is a little questionable now, but that can be taken care of. But I think you're looking at, you know, a very quality business park setting. I think it's an impressive place, the way it was designed and built out and taken care of. And I think the public, whether they're long-timers or newcomers, would be impressed by, you know, your presence up there. So my comments. Thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you, Mr. Lieb. Questions for Mr. Lieb?
No, thank you.
I have none.
Leslie Mayer. Good morning. And please state your name and address.
I'm Leslie Mayer. I'm the Director of Human Services. My address is 1060 East 2nd Avenue. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about Human Services moving into the 10 Burnett building. And first of all, I want to thank you for leasing that building. We took our staff over last week and had an open house, and they were so excited to see the building and the airiness and the windows and the light. And it's really a building that can meet the Human Services need. Office space has been an issue for Human Services for several years. In 2006, we moved our therapeutic services out to North Campus to create more space for us in the basement of the courthouse. The department has been in the basement of the courthouse for over 40 years. And then in 2013, we actually moved our child support services and our adult financial services upstairs into the old clerk's office and the GIS space to create more space for us. And now that space will, excuse me, be used for the federal court building, and we do not have the space to move those folks back downstairs. So historically, we have been spreading out to create more space for our staff and for our needs. Our goal is to have everybody in one space. It creates efficiency for the work that we do. It creates efficiency for the clients that we serve. And 10 Burnett is the perfect space for us. It brings all of our staff back together. It currently will meet our long-term needs for many, many years to come. It's beneficial for our clients. It's beneficial for our staff. There's adequate parking for everybody. And I just wanted to say that I would certainly support the board's decision in purchasing that building. So thank you.
Thank you. Damian Peduto, I think, oh, there he is. Saw you step out. I didn't see you come back in.
Quick like that.
Frankly, with my position with the county, I don't have any major personal opinions I want to make you aware of, more of a professional perspective from within the organization. Similar to Leslie's, in community development generally, you do have building and public works is a different extension, planning. You know, we're going under this last few years with this administration, we're working on efficiency within local government. Lean and efficiency is something that we're very focused on, and operating more efficiently is a goal physically, not just with a lot of the other efforts we're making as far as amendments to our codes, trying to perform a lot more over-the-counter permitting. You're involved with that. In fact, this year you're going to see a significant amount of those permits Joe is talking about through CityView, a software program that we work with, to accommodate more over-the-counter work. And that common sense leads to the fact that we're going to have a lot of more over-the-counter encounters with people who are going to need more services from the departments. And so being designed to perform those services is essential. And how we operate with the customer is very important. Also, how we integrate together and how we consolidate our efforts into a hub, if you will, or office space for development is very important to us. And limiting the disruption in several moves, I've been a strong advocate to Joe, I can tell you several times, asked him, move us once, don't move us twice, please, if you can. And so I understand and know that you have a decision before you that involves other considerations, but I wanted you to know that he's receiving a lot of pressure from the bottom up as well. And so I appreciate your considerations regarding those issues, and leave you to it. Thank you.
I have one question for Mr. Peduto.
Yes.
And you may not be the best person to answer it, but you're the one standing in front of us right now. Have you gotten any comments within your department regarding the secured entrance at the courthouse?
We have regular comments from customers, not from within my department as far as
what
staff
are the
members.
Nature of the comments been from the public?
Comments from customers is the discomfort with going through the secure entry point at the Second Avenue entrance to the courthouse in order to come down to the basement and do business with planning, zoning, planning and building.
You say discomfort. I'm not envisioning actual discomfort. I'm envisioning people with pocket knives and screwdrivers. And
people with pocket knives get extremely frustrated when they get stopped at the door and they can't simply come in and get a building permit, simply come in and do development business with staff. Has staff felt the discomfort with people sitting across from them with a pocket knife? No. I have not gotten any sense or concerns from staff, but I have heard discomfort and frustration from customers on a regular basis.
All right, thank you. Mr. Wade Rosenberg, and while Wade is coming to the podium, if anybody showed up later this morning and haven't yet filled out a pink slip, please do so. They are located on the counter in the back of the room. Thank you. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Good to see you guys again. I just wanted to introduce myself to the community, kind of let you guys know who I am, how long I've been here, what I do. I'm actually the tenant in the third floor of the Tin Burnett building. I came here about a year ago specifically for the use of that building. I'm a serial entrepreneur, okay? So what I do is I build jobs. I do this in several states. I've currently I employ upwards of about 250 people, average salaries of about $75,000. My intent was to come to this town and replicate this model. Currently, I have about seven businesses that I run out of that third floor of the Tin Burnett building. I forecasted within the next 18 months to employ about 70 Durango residents at that same kind of salary range. Okay, so there's a little bit of a frustration on my part, and I apologize. I'll try to refrain from any contention. Some points, again, that specifically brought me to Durango and relocating my headquarters here, again, employing citizens of the community. Was the tech-specific purpose that that building was intended for? Specifically, it has some built-in infrastructure, specialized ventilation. Apparently, it's one of the first places to get fiber. And I've really made use of that, put a lot of capital improvements, you know, between instrumentation and further build-out. It's upwards of $1 million up on that third floor. So the idea of being vacated within about 2.5 years is frustrating, and it will require that I change my vision to move my headquarters to the Durango area based on the ease of movement. At the same time, I have to kind of look forward to a 2.5 year plan of relocating somewhere else. I hope that it's in Durango. Right now, it's really difficult, as you guys have been working on your space planning. Okay, I guess my questions that I have are there specific technical needs that you're going to be leveraging as I have in that building that is currently supported by that building?
Mr. Rosenberg, perhaps you could list your questions and then we can identify appropriate staff to address your questions once you're finished.
You want me to just kind of go down the list? Okay, first one is, as far as the space, are there specific technical requirements that the Department of Human Services will be using that building currently provides? Secondly, by displacing my organization and roadblocking any tech-specific companies from coming to the tech center, does the county offer any solution to offer space to attract tech-specific industry to the area, thus creating more jobs? Another one, what is the estimated appraised value in terms of the purchase? A building being 100% occupied is certainly going to inflate the cost. And then also, what expense are you going to be incurring in finishing it out, specifically the third floor? And I know members of the county have come up into my facility and kind of poked around. I don't know if you've seen the build out, the infrastructure, the nitrogen generators and the specialized plumbing and things like that. All that, I assume you're just going to kind of rip out, and there's going to be a pretty exorbitant expense to do so. So in terms of the inflated expense, because I'd like to know the estimate, if it exceeded $8 million to purchase that building, and then also the finish out that would be required to move your facility in there. And then lastly, you know, I've heard a lot about cost analysis, and, you know, that's the business that we're in. However, I haven't really heard anything about the opportunity costs. Okay, so again, displacing my organization, 70 jobs with an average salary of about $70,000 a year. You know, hopefully we're motivated to get people off of food stamps and get them gainful employment. So have you guys, and then by negating the other two floors of a tech-specific space, not allowing that industry that will then also be able to employ members of the community, there's certainly a dramatic opportunity cost that I haven't heard been discussed. I've heard a per square foot, but that's, you know, only a very small piece of the picture. So those are the questions that I
have. All right. Perhaps we could have Ms. Spina address the board on your questions, and if you have no further questions, sure, you can be seated. Thank you.
Mr. Rosenberg, I'd be happy to try to address those questions. So the first question had to do with the specific technical needs and requirements of our organization. And just like every other organization anymore, we all have similar kinds of technical requirements for fiber and fast connectivity for the work that we do. In particular, the Department of Human Services works directly with the state computer system, as you know, and so having that very robust connection and the kind of connectivity that's afforded by that building is extremely beneficial to us, and we have had our IT people up there several times to ensure that it's adequate to meet those needs, and we believe that it is. Second question Mr. Rosenberg asked was by displacing his organization, does the county offer solution? Well, I guess that this ties in both to that question and the opportunity cost that he mentioned in his last question. And I would say, commissioners, that this building had been on the market for some time before the county entered into this arrangement. So it could have been any a private company or any other company other than the county that would have put an offer on that building. So I don't know, you know, obviously in terms of our having a solution for a tenant, we do not have a plan for him going forward as would any individual with a business has the lease terms of their for their business. And in this case, the arrangement was through 2018, as has been noted. But that building had been on the market, and it just was that the county was the one who stepped up as opposed to another entity that might have done that. The question about what is the appraised value, we don't know that at this point. That would be something that would happen once the if and when the board chooses to exercise the option. That would be the time at which an appraisal would be undertaken, and that closing, as noted in my staff report, would be by June 30th. So the finding out what that appraised value would be one of the steps that we would undertake in due diligence between that January and June period. And the expense to finish out, obviously, we're with respect to the first and second floors, we're doing our best to have those be as nominal as we can to use the space in the configuration that it is right now, and we have met with our staff and worked on that to ensure that we have minimal amount of cost associated with any changes to the building on the first and second floors. And we certainly can't speak to the third floor because we haven't been in there with a view to what specifically would happen on that floor, when it would happen, and we're talking about something well beyond, you know, the mid-year of 2018. So certainly any, A, we've not analyzed that. B, we haven't made a determination about what would go up there. And C, it would be premature to try to be costing out on the third floor when we would certainly not want to be disruptive to the business that's on there to try to do that kind of an analysis. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wait a second. But surely you've been up there and know that floor had to be, the third floor has to be reconfigured to some extent.
Madam Chair,
you can, that's okay. You can call
yeah,
me
I'm
that.
Sorry. Former Madam Chair, I have not been up there since all of the renovations have taken place. And so I don't know, and while we were in the negotiations, I believe that the additional quadrant or quadrants were acquired as well. And so I have no knowledge of what else has been done up there. When the last time that we had seen it, it was an open area. So I'm not sure how we had seen some of the changes that were going in when we were looking at the building initially. But again, it would be a misrepresentation for me to make clearly there's going to be changes that would need to be made. It would be total speculation, and I wouldn't feel responsible to do that.
Commissioners, also the direction to staff relative to renovations has been to minimize the amount of renovation that we would be doing. That the building, at least the several times that I've toured it, seems to meet our needs well, and not that it's ideal in terms of its configuration. I think by far it meets most of our needs, as Leslie Mayer, our Department of Human Services department head, as she identified. So we're not going into the lease and or purchase with grand designs of significant renovations to the building by any means. It's just the opposite of that. There will be some, but we are our direction has been to minimize those.
And it's quite functional for those first two floors in the state that it is, with some minor modifications that we've actually already discussed with our staff.
And just to kind of just comment on a point Ms. Spina made, I can tell you that through my familiarity with human services from CCI and from some of the statewide committees I sit on, as well as just talking to our staff. It is surprisingly to me one of the most internet-dependent departments that we have. You don't think about that when you think about what the department does, but the state is trying to computerize so much more things, do things that allow our department to work with the State Department, and I'm just am very much aware that that's one of the most internet-dependent departments that we have. So it doesn't seem like it would be because of its name, but it's the fact.
Commissioners, also, Mr. Rosenberg referred to whether or not the county would offer any incentives relative to the move of their organization out of that building once their lease expires. And I would ask the county attorney to comment on the legal issues there.
Did he mention that? I didn't hear that.
Actually, I think he did mention that, and he may not have used those exact words.
I interpreted it as, would the county be supporting a location out elsewhere, which immediately led me to think about repurposing the terminal, existing terminal at the airport. So if he was...
So, speaking to
incentives, I didn't hear that. So,
yeah, and maybe we can allow him to clarify. But from my perspective, we have shared with Mr. Rosenberg previously, as well as Roger Zollneritis with the Alliance, that the county is happy to be at the table to help identify potential locations for them to occupy, and. However, incentives being offered by the county was not something that we have done in the past.
Mr. Rosenberg, would you care to clarify?
The question wasn't an incentive.
Could you speak into the microphone? I'm sorry.
By no means was I asking for a handout or an incentive or anything. I was just wondering what sort of support maybe the county could offer in terms of expediting permits, build-outs, anything that's involved with creating another facility like the tech center offers. By no means am I asking for a handout by any means. Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification.
I would love to see that project come before the county commissioners.
Right. Madam County Attorney, any comments? All right. Okay. We will continue on with public comment. Mr. Gerald Pope.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Is that working now?
There you go.
Yeah. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Jerry Pope. I live at 195 County Road 253. I've been in Durango for approximately 25 years. And I've built a tremendous amount of buildings during my tenure here. And I've mostly, as far as me visiting the existing building, I've gone to the building department. I'm one of those folks that don't like going through the
security
check and being, they've been very, very nice, but it's a real pain. I have things to do, and I'd prefer not to have a building that is like that. I think your plan is a very good plan. As a builder, I know what it costs to build here in this town, and I think $350 to $400 would be a minimum for a new building per square foot, so I think that the price of these buildings is fantastic. I think getting everyone located in one area is an extremely smart move on your behalf. I would encourage you to look at this very closely. So I'm in favor of everything that I've heard today, and I appreciate your guys' time and listening to everyone here today, but to go out and build a new building that would be the perfect solution for you is going to be extremely expensive. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Butch Knowlton.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Butch Knowlton. I reside in the basement of the courthouse. I've been a director for La Plata County for about 38 years now. And I think today, standing before you, I almost feel as though we can see a light at the end of the tunnel. if you look back through county government, we have debated staff and space for years and years and years. And we've been down many, many paths and many roads and never really had a definition or clarity of where we could really go. And today, I think that's before us. I think there's some opportunities here that we've never experienced before. So totally support what we're debating here today and support the acquisition of that 211 building. Over the course of time, La Plata County has built a process, land use process and building code process, whereby those two departments have to work hand in hand on a daily basis. We're in a position where our staff members go back and forth between the offices dozens of times a day to confer about the operational aspects and needs in order to serve the public. The public, I think, really wants us to be efficient. I think that's their goal. And with this acquisition and with us going into that building, we're going to be able to really help with the service and efficiency that we provide the people. In the building department, we have approximately 30 to 35 people a day come through our door. I appreciate the comments and the questions Commissioner Westendorf has laid out here in regards to the City View. The City View program will afford us and allow us to do certain things online, but the simple fact is that we, with 600 or 700 people needing to talk to us about projects and things that they have permitted, the simple fact is that people have to come and physically talk to us. We issue about 600 permits a year, and quite honestly, 150 to 160 of those are single-family residents. When our guys go out and do 2,000 to 3,000 inspections a year, part of that inspection process is going to entail us physically talking with and working with a builder or a homeowner. It's something we can't do online. We have to lay the plans out on the table. We have to discuss inspections. We have to make plans and preparations to address future aspects of that construction project. And so being able to do that in an organized fashion with plenty of space is really a benefit to us and the taxpayers. The question has come up about especially our tradespeople in regards to coming into a secure building. Huge problem. I don't know how many times we've had people come through the door and they're totally irate because they had to walk two or three blocks because they couldn't park close to the building, only to find out that they had a screwdriver or some other tool in their side pocket that they forgot about and they had to go back to their vehicle and then come back. We don't belong in a secure building. So, again, another reason that we welcome the opportunity to move from this building. We kind of conducted a little survey here over the last few days, and we had about 35 people that offered their opinion in regards to us moving out, and only three out of those 35 people basically didn't want us to move. Everyone else said, please move. Please get into a position where we can come and see you easier than we do. A lot of the tradespeople that we work with have big trucks and trailers. And that's a big issue for us because some of the permit processes, again, when we have to physically contact and work with people, they, in their day, are driving around a larger vehicle that doesn't fit anywhere on this Second Avenue area. And I think the other thing that we haven't looked at and addressed totally is each year we create greater impacts with parking in the residential area. We have complaints. I don't know how many times a week my guys come in and they have received some sort of a nasty gram that someone has put on their windshield because they didn't want them parking all the time in front of their home. The 211 Rock Point building will give us and will allow us to address all these issues. Plenty of parking for staff, and there's also parking and maneuverability for larger vehicles. So we're with you. We support what you're trying to do. I believe personally, after looking at this for the number of years that I have, we finally have a light at the end of the tunnel. We finally have an ability to address and provide better service to the community, but also have a goal and an objective and a light to move towards. So thank you.
Mr. Knowlton?
I'm just trying to envision what it looks like when your office moves out of its space. I mean, I actually thought you were going to come up here and say something different, like you like it just where you are. And
again, I recognize the fact that there's been a lot of people that have been putting cost estimates together for us moving, but I think they grossly underestimated the cost it's going to take to move my office. So I think I'm probably
38
have to
years worth
night
of
and day
stuff
time to help that move be accomplished.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, Mr. Jim Davis.
Morning, Commissioners. Jim Davis, Director of Public Works. And I wasn't going to speak, but I thought it would be good just to go over briefly a couple of past decisions that were made that should be probably considered as far as public works and where we go in the future. And public works encompasses the engineering department and the road and bridge department. Going back a couple of years, just briefly, a quick timeline. In 2000, the engineering department prior to 2000 was housed in the old Quonset hut that was the Durango Road and Bridge shop. So engineering can work anywhere and has worked anywhere. It's kind of a difficult environment. They were dealing with diesel fumes and greasy tables and all. It wasn't an ideal office space for the engineering department. So they moved to the old main post office. It was the first county department that moved to that building. 2005, the new Durango shop was built, and during construction, they actually made accommodations to the foundation. They installed an elevator shaft, and they made improvements to the roof truss to accommodate, in the future, a second floor addition, I think about 4,500 square feet. So that cost was spent. That accommodation was made in 2005. 2006, at that time, we did not have a director of public works. We had a county engineer who answered directly to the county manager, and the road and bridge superintendent also answered directly to the county manager at that time. The decision was made by the board and the county manager to minimize the amount of direct reports that the county manager had, so they created the director of public works position and included the road and bridge under that position. So the director of public works was then had oversight and responsibility for the management and supervision of the road and bridge department. At the same time, they created a planning engineering position and transferred one of the engineering employees to the planning department so that they could have that engineering capability within the planning department, and that specifically public works engineering would focus more on the capital road and bridge project and the day-to-day road and bridge issues. The 2012 Blythe study did mention it said build a, this was under the section on public works road and bridge, and it did specifically mention build a second story on the current administration building, Durango shop building, to accommodate a larger office. Specialized teams construction would allow other departments to utilize it, and it just mentioned that there had been previous discussion of moving the engineering department to the second floor. Building has an elevator chute in the breezeway between admin and fleet, so they just noted that there was an accommodation made and mentioned that there had been some discussion for that. We had an employee retire in 2015. One of the district team leaders, we did a little bit of reorganization as a result. The traffic division then was reappointed to as a direct report to the director of public works. So I guess my thought being, whether it's myself in this position or somebody in the future, I think to operate more efficiently, and it could come a point in time. Many communities our size and larger actually have a director of public works and a county engineer. So whether we consider, you know, a split or reorganizing the county in that form at some point in the future. But I do think that the director of public works in the engineering department, as it has been structured and as the moves that have been made to date, at least in my view of the world, it makes more sense for them to be co-located with the road and bridge department, because the majority of works and projects that we do on a day-to-day basis are more directly related to the you know, maintenance and improvement of county roads. So, you know, having said that, we can function anywhere. We've been in the old main post office now since 2000, and since 2005, 2006, when the change was made and the director of public works position was created. So I just wanted to say we can function in almost any environment, and but I think an ideal position would co-locate those two departments. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's interesting.
We are going to take a quick break because we're having some technical difficulties with recording this hearing. So while Sarah is getting everything set up, we'll just people can stand up and stretch your legs. There's some water in the hallway, other facilities.
Thank you.
All right. We are reconvening our business meeting on June 30th, 2015. We are in the middle of hearing public comment on the county's facilities plan. We just heard from Mr. Jim Davis. And the next person on my list is Mr. Roger Zalnaritis.
Is this on? Okay.
It's on.
I'm Roger Zalnaritis. I live at 420 Window Lake Trail. I'm the director of the La Plata County Economic Development Alliance. And thank you again for this presentation today, Joanne. It's been good to hear a lot more about the facilities master plan and what's going on. And I really appreciate why you all are looking at the options that you're looking at. I mean, it's a cost issue that's very important here. I have a preference to see as many city and county employees stay downtown as possible. And the reason for that is at my last job in Lawrence, Kansas, Main Street there, Massachusetts Street, was anchored by the city hall on the north side and the county on the south side. And that did a lot to actually help revitalize downtown. And so I saw the economic impact that had in my last job. So I'm not speaking as a professional economic developer so much as what I've seen in other communities, that it really works to keep the employees downtown to help with the overall quality of the downtown experience. But when I first heard about this deal, this potential deal, when Joe and Joanne contacted me, I had a couple of immediate concerns, one of which was Wade, as you heard about, and his company that he was bringing here. This was also the only property the Alliance was marketing statewide to attract other firms like his into our region. So there was an immediate concern. But there's a longer-term concern, and that's the one that you guys are experiencing as well, and that's our markets. When Mercury moved into its new space, we had what a couple of local folks were calling the Mercury effect, where prices were depressed, and I almost want to put quote marks around depressed in the office market because there was a surplus. And I'd survey it and talk with a few other people who were all trying to guess how long would it take the Durango Tech Park to fill back up. And based on what I heard from other people and my own estimates from studies like the La Posta Road feasibility study, I figured it would take about 4 to 8 years for all of that space to fill up. And to get back to fully occupied. And we were about on pace with that. We had gotten about 15,000 square feet secured from private employers over the course of a year, and that's about in that six-year range or so for the space. So this deal that the county's entered into for the leases with the option to purchase, this has the effect of taking about 3 to 5 years worth of projected demand and consolidating it into a single deal. So that's the problem we face from a market perspective is that as a market, we weren't ready for anybody to do a deal of that size, whether it was the county, the city, the Little Sisters of the Poor, Google, whoever it might happen to be. If they were going to take out 50,000 square feet of space or almost that amount of office space, the market was caught flat-footed is what really happened. And what I've heard about since then is I've heard lease rates in the tech park going up by as much as 20%. I've heard of some companies reconsidering their relocation or expansion here. This was the first time I heard about Wade's considerations of this today, so I could add three at this point to that list. And all those have an impact. I mean, when companies aren't able to expand, they're not able to expand our tax base at the same time as well. So the reason we're unprepared, it is very difficult to find space and permit it. It's very difficult to finance space as well if you're looking to build. Spec space is something that I really like to hear about because, as you see, companies just like the county likes to find existing space. Well, if you can't build spec space or get it financed, it makes it very hard to have site-ready places for businesses to locate. So these are all issues that we're facing right now, which results in everybody chasing the same thing, which is unoccupied, vacant buildings. And we're getting fewer and fewer of those. We never had many to begin with, except in the office market. We had a surplus for a while, but that surplus is pretty much gone at this point. So everybody's kind of asking the same question, and it can feel like a zero-sum game. It's like, well, should the county have to pay more? Should a business have to pay more for, the alternative building new? And we're getting very close to that situation now where we're all kind of constrained and facing rising prices as a result with a high cost to build in this market too. One of the things that this taught me over the last couple months is that we're all in this together. It's not just, is it primary employers that can occupy this space, or is it construction storage yards, or is it a police department? We're all involved in this market, the commercial market for space in this community. So we all have a need to resolve it. When Wade asked the question, can the county assist in some way? How do we move forward and try to resolve it to make it easier and more affordable to build new commercial space in this community? Now, the good news is we are working on this right now. I think Joe and Damian and I are doing are having some great discussions about what we can do to facilitate the construction of new commercial space. As you know, the Alliance is focused on trying to find out a new way to build an industrial park or a business park here in the county over the next 5 years. And we are taking some steps in the right direction. And I just want to put this a little bit in context with regard to office space. If we're expecting about 15 to 20,000 square feet of office space to be occupied per year, that means over the next 10 years, and I tend to think in 10-year timeframes, we need about 200,000 square feet of office space in this market. That's smaller than Walmart. So we're not saying, oh my gosh, we need to build a brand new Bayfield or something like that. It's actually a pretty achievable number, I think. So we're taking steps in the direction right now to help improve circumstances here. Hopefully this will show some real tangible improvements like the Class 2 lien process that we've been going through. And hopefully that results in some real improvements to make it easier and more affordable to build space and build spec space down the road so the businesses can continue to grow here in La Plata County. So thanks again for the presentation today, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Would you repeat that again, 200,000 square feet in the next 10 years?
Yes. So, you know, and keep and qualify that a little bit because, you know, in most big community and big cities, you have absorption rates that you can make these estimates off of. This was almost like barroom guesstimates, right? But these are real estate brokers. These are professionals that we're talking to. Yeah, about 200,000, and maybe you round up a little bit, but, you know, 200,000 square feet to 250 to be safe is probably what we're looking at a need for.
Do you have an idea of how much is available right now?
It's 50,000 square feet less than it was. But part of the issue is the configuration of the space. As we've heard from county employees, it's, does this work for my business? You can find a 250 square foot office for one or two people like that, no problem at all. If you're looking for larger spaces, it goes really blank really fast. You do an MLS search or even hear of availabilities, there's very little available as you know, above 5,000 square feet. So when you have a company that wants to take 5,000, 7,500, 10,000 square feet, finding it in the right functionality for their use is really hard in this market.
Thank you. I just want to thank you for the overall market view, because that was one of the questions that I just had in my mind as people have been talking, really is, the market in office space at one point seems to be over the top available, and in an instant it's a crisis. And like you said, there were any number of potential buyers out there, and the effect would have been the same on the available office space. So I'm definitely would like to, you know, keep an eye on how do we get a business park. We've been talking about that for 3 years, but how do we get a business park really in motion, as opposed to just what everyone agrees we need? So thanks, Roger. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much for your comments. Mr. Bill Schultz.
My name is Bill Schultz, and I'm a commercial real estate broker for many years here, 35 years. Just a few comments. I think the move is good in terms of everything that's been pointed out as cost-effective move. I think that makes sense. I think the absorption of vacant office space is good and healthy for the commercial real estate market. I take a little exception to what Roger said. I think most growth of companies is government. Most private companies, I think, are scaling back their office uses. So as time goes on, government is the bigger absorber of space, and so you've done that now and eaten up a lot of that space, which is healthy for the overall real estate market. So I think it's all good, the move. My frustration, I guess, is part procedural in terms of the county sort of negotiating against themselves. By virtue of leasing the building and having an open-ended purchase contract, you're guaranteed you're going to pay more than $8 million for that building, because now, by leasing it up, it becomes more valuable. The building sat vacant for $6 million and could have been purchased by myself or anybody, could have purchased that building for $6 million, but not with the conditions the county wanted to put on probably a purchase. But if you were a clean purchase buyer, you could have bought the building for $6 million, and now you're talking potentially up to $10 million. So just keep that in mind. I think it would be good if the commissioners and the county reached out to private real estate brokers that have knowledge of this market better maybe than you do, because we do it for a living, and get some of that advice and kind of guide yourself a little bit going forward in the future on other deals. That's my only frustration. Tax dollars are being spent, I think, higher than needed to be spent due to timing issues. And I understand counties can't move quickly and write a check and buy a building. They can't do that. But that's the frustration I have, is that I think we're now conceivably spending $4 million more for the same structure. But still cheaper than what it would cost to build it.
You're not alone in that frustration, Mr. Schultz.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yes, I would agree with that. Not for a lack of trying, certainly. Mr. Wolf, you are up. Oh, that's perfectly fine.
Not tall enough for me. My name is Bob Wolf, 97 Windsock Road at Animas Air Park. I'm also on the board at the air park. I'd like to give you a little history of the Burnett Gravel Pit, now known as the Durango Tech Center. Back in 95, my friends that owned Burnett Construction at the time mined all the gravel that was there and needed to move. They moved to Ewing Mesa, and we had this brownfield site, a nasty old concrete plant, asphalt plant, and an empty gravel mine. And we said, what are we going to do with it? So Dave West and I actually went to Denver. Denver Tech Center had just started, and we came back with the three ideas we talked around. One was housing for up there. Number two was a government operation, and number three was a business park. We could see in 95 that the Bodo was starting to fill up. We could actually project forward a little bit and see the Bodo filling up. So we decided to embark on the Durango Tech Center. I took it through the planning process and annexed it into the city. And then subsequently, over the course of the years, some other partners and I would buy a lot from the Burnett guys, and we'd build a building on spec, lease it up, flip it, and we did that over most of the tech center. We ended up at about 11 or 12 years ago with the two lots, which we merged together and put 10 Burnett Court together, and we actually built that 40,000 square foot building on spec. The interesting thing, we thought at that time that the we'd get plumbers, electricians, et cetera, up there. That was kind of our goal. But as it turned out, the cost of development and the demand for office space was the highest and best use, and that's how it shook out. In other words, the first building we built up there was Coors. We moved Coors out of Bodo because they had outgrown their space. And lo and behold, from then on, with a few exceptions, it's been business and office space. So I actually hatched this idea about 2.5 years ago. I went to the 9R administration and to the county administration and said, I could see the writing on the wall, and when Mercury was going to move out of the building and the other six buildings up there, there were going to be something like 80,000 square feet of vacant space at the end of a long recession. It's kind of a hard pill to swallow. So I went around dog and pony show and pitched the county and the school district. So fundamentally, I think that it's a good idea for you to pursue that. I think that, you know, I differ with my real estate friends. I think it's good to get government in a campus setting that you can accumulate the number of buildings up there and actually have a county administration up there. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity in a way, because Durango doesn't have another business park coming online. The problem with La Posta Road is that it's divided amongst multiple owners and not one owner like Burnett Construction and like Bodo was originally. But I wanted to bring to your attention something that occurred to me a while ago. Durango Tech Center does not meet your criteria for development. Section 102.102 of your code says that there should be a secondary access out of Durango Tech Center because it's dramatically over the 800 ADT that you would allow. So it would seem incredibly difficult for my friends at the planning department to be standing in a building telling everybody else in the county that they can't build at Animas Air Park, for example, because you're over 800 ADT. My point being that what's wrong, you should do what you're, you should follow the direction you're pursuing, but we should revisit the 800 ADT, which that number was pulled out of the air when Mike Russell was the county engineer, and it's not functional. Not one person in this community thinks Durango Tech Center is a hazard to life safety because of its design and lack of secondary access. The city at the time when I annexed it into the city limits had, you know, they had a, some similar rules, not quite as draconian, but they required an emergency access. So we spent $60,000 building an emergency access by the cemetery connecting to the cemetery road. Tom Kaufman at the time when we were done with it said, well, that's nice, but I'll never use it to put a piece of equipment on. But it's, you know, it's great for the fireworks display. They get good access to the to putting out fires. So I really think that we need to, I would respectfully request that you reconsider the section 102, which didn't have a rational nexus at that time. And I would think it'd be incredibly hypocritical to have a planner standing in a building that is in a project that you wouldn't approve saying, no, you can't do it, but we're fine. You see what I mean? I'm not trying to be too smart ass, but.
I think you should have talked in the portion that was devoted to things other than what was on the agenda, because it sounds like...
I'm supporting your
okay
position. And I got your point. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We have a couple folks left who have signed pink slips. If anyone wishes to speak and hasn't signed a pink slip yet, please do so there in the back of the room. Tim Walsworth.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you for letting us comment here. I'm Tim Walsworth. I run the Durango Business Improvement District, or the BID. Our office is at 850 and a half Main, Suite 2. And we work for commercial property owners and the businesses in those properties downtown and along the North Main corridor. We're funded by a 2.0 mill levy that's in place through 2025, and the mission is to promote, market, and advocate for those business and property owners. The bid board has discussed this current issue over the past couple of years. We've written letters of support for the county to bring a federal court downtown. And so we are supportive of bringing a federal court to downtown. If that means moving some of the existing employees in the courthouse to other places, we can be okay with that. I would suggest, as has kind of been stated here, that if some of those businesses that are in these properties in the tech center the county is considering are going to be displaced, that the county does work with them to try to find a new home, or maybe there's a way for both organizations to coexist. Those primary employers are very important for our whole economy and for downtown in particular. Civic uses, as Roger said, civic uses in downtown are important. Generally speaking, we don't like it when anyone leaves the downtown or the North Main area. But in this case, again, if this move allows a federal court to come in, then BID is supportive of it. And the last thing I would say is if there is space downtown to build a new facility for human services and planning and building that works and functions better, we've heard a lot of the concerns, and we've all seen those if you've ever been in those spaces. BID would really, really like that. But the main thing is we're supportive of bringing that federal court to downtown.
Questions?
Okay,
questions for Mr. Walsworth?
I would just say that this is critical to bringing the federal courts downtown. And just for clarification for folks who may not know the status, since federal courts have been in the air for a number of years,
right,
we have a lease agreement with the federal courts. We're expect. I think Ms. Spina talked about it as well, that we're expecting actual construction on the remodel to begin on the courthouse the first of next year, I think it is, and that'll be for remodel of an additional local court as well as a federal court, probation offices, federal marshal's office, and judge's chambers. So couldn't happen without some pieces moving. Thank you.
Thank you. And the final person is Madam Clerk and Recorder, Tiffany Parker.
Good morning, Commissioners and members of the public. I'm Tiffany Parker, La Plata County Clerk. Our office is located at 98 Everett Street out in Bodo Park. And I'm here just to speak briefly to you about our department experience with relocating from the courthouse to Bodo Park. This occurred in 2010. I was not the clerk at the time. However, I worked in the office. The clerk at the time did receive quite a bit of discussion from the business community in the downtown and from the board regarding relocating a county facility outside of the downtown. Today, it has been very, very positive. We have done as much as we possibly can utilizing technology, putting the many services as we can online, and I receive on a daily basis comments from the public appreciating where we are located as far as parking and not having that expense. We service over 100 people minimum a day through motor vehicle. That's just in Durango Branch, people coming through those doors. That's a lot of parking, and they're in and out very quickly, and we can service them in 5 to 15 minutes right now. It takes longer than that currently to even find a parking location in downtown Durango. So our citizens are very appreciative of it. Many, many of them use the online services. However, you're still going to always have those in our community that want to come in, want to see me, want to come see our staff. It may be once a year to drop off a ballot, whatever it is, but we need to make it the most accessible to them. So I'm supportive of the concept of moving out of the downtown area for specific departments. Mine was one of those. I am in the support of trying to keep as many departments as we can together so that it is easier for our citizens to have our service. So I think that what you're doing is very, very good, and I think our citizens are going to appreciate it. And then I wanted to address the issue, though, about the downtown usage, because I've been here my whole life, and so has my family, many generations, and downtown Durango is extremely important. And my staff and myself still come downtown consistently. I schedule my meetings downtown. I utilize the shops. We strive to make sure we still come down and support our community. And I think that's really important as a local, not only as your county clerk, as a local, that we will always continue to try to support the downtown area. So that's all I had. Is there any questions of me?
Any questions? No, thank you very much for your comments. Appreciate it. All right. Ms. Spina has a follow-up.
Madam Chair, if I may, there's one last comment that I just wanted to make for the benefit of the public and the board, and that is how we're paying for these acquisitions. Certainly this remodel, the courthouse remodel that we will be undertaking in 2016, and then the proposed acquisition of 211 Rock Point and the potential acquisition of 10 Burnett, those are all contemplated to be paid out of reserves, so we would not be asking for bonding for those. We have been setting aside money for many years for purposes of facility planning, and so all of these acquisitions will be able to be made from the reserves that the county has set aside specifically for that purpose. So I just wanted to remind the board, and for the benefit of the public who might not be aware of that.
Very important clarification.
Thank you.
Thank you. Comments?
I just wanted to address some public comments that I received. I believe we also received two email comments as well. And how do we want to put those in the record? Do we just want to summarize them and make them part of the written record, or what's the best move there? Anybody?
We can forward the direct email letters to the clerk for inclusion in the formal record.
Both of those favored the utilization of existing buildings. And then also, I tried something I'd never done before and was a little bit nervous about doing. Mr. Walsworth, where if he's still here, participated. But I have a Facebook page that I use for my county commissioner communications, and I put posting last week, and I'm going to read what it says. Commissioners will take comments from the public on Tuesday, June 30th, regarding consideration of long-term relocation of human services, planning, and building departments in the Durango Tech Center. a big question. Do taxpayers prefer that county spend significantly less money to acquire existing buildings outside of downtown Durango, or that the county build additional structures downtown with higher price tags? What is your opinion? So we did get we got 17 comments, written comments through that. One said keep it downtown or close. The vast majority basically said take certain things into consideration, but principally they favored acquisition of the properties in the tech center because of budgetary concerns, because of the values, the cost benefit that savings, the cost that Mr. Lieb and others have spoken to, and a couple other commented on parking, and that actually one said it's a no-brainer just for the parking considerations. So I will also put these on the record, but I don't think unless you guys want me to, I can read them all. What's your preference?
Just summary, okay?
I would put them on the record.
As in read them right now?
Just written form.
Okay.
Written form.
Okay. So thanks to everyone who commented. It was really valuable input, and it's largely consistent with the comments that we heard today. One other thing I just want to make on the record also is that Mr. Rosenberg indicated his interest in the discussions and so on. I appreciate that. Mr. Wolf also was initially involved in as this, one of the sellers of this property at 10 Burnett. So I think just for transparency purposes, we should disclose as well that Mr. Wolf was in and had an interest in the property.
Thank you. Does any other member of the public wish to speak? All right. Seeing none, I will close the public comment and input portion of this agenda item, and we will move on.
Can I just make just one thing to everybody who participated? This was really helpful to us and important to us to have a conversation like this. We ended up with our backs against the wall somewhat, I think, when the initial lease came up and option and so on, because of things moving quickly and the way negotiations can't necessarily be broadcast publicly because it really messes things up. So this is an opportunity for us to just hear from a bunch of people and get some general ideas and input for the future. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner, and thank you all for your participation today. Okay, Commissioners, we have no presentations on today's agenda, nor announcements and proclamations. The next item is the consent agenda. We have five items on the consent agenda. Does any member of the public or staff or commissioner wish to remove any item from the consent agenda?
I don't wish to remove anything. There was at least one and possibly two address errors in the letters to elected officials.
Okay.
So I just, I'm sure those, I'm ready to approve them, but with the, with those changes being made. So.
Okay. So noted.
Then I would move that we approve the consent agenda as proposed.
All in favor of approving the consent agenda, please say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Next item is a public hearing, which we've had a public hearing. Next item is decision agenda 2016 legislative issues for Colorado Counties Incorporated. Staff presentation by Susan Hackinson.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you. As you know, CCI, Colorado Counties Incorporated, does a legislative process every year, reaching out to the counties around the state and asking if we have any legislative issues that we'd like to forward or things that we'd like to amend that have been done over the years. That particular form will go to CCI within the next week, and they start putting together their legislative agenda for 2016. I apologize. I noticed there was a typo in there, and I, I, I think I changed it, and I didn't save it. It says 2014 in your piece, but it's a 2016 legislative agenda. I did reach out to all of the department heads and elected officials within La Plata County, and the three that you see on your agenda are the three that were submitted. They were submitted by our county attorney's office, and I think that for specifics, if you guys have questions, I know you've had a chance to review what's here, so I don't know if you have any particular questions, but I would really like to be able to have our county attorney address any questions related to those three items that were forwarded.
Okay, thank you. Is the county attorney prepared to summarize the three potential legislative items?
The first issue relates to the medical marijuana testing facility licensing. There was some new legislation in 2015 that allowed medical marijuana product testing, but did not have a corollary provision for local licensing authorities to issue licenses for retail marijuana testing facilities in conjunction with the state process. We assume this was an oversight in the 2015 bill, but upon further investigation, maybe someone has other information, but if not, we'd like a cleanup of that. The second item relates to the Child Fatality Review Team. The statute that created these review teams has a number of mandatory and then also discretionary members that can be appointed. One of the mandatory members that is specifically called out requires each county attorney to serve on the Child Fatality Review Team. Some of these review teams are regional. On the Front Range, they have one regional team that actually is comprised of 11 counties, and certainly you don't need 11 county attorneys at serving on those teams. So it's a matter of efficiency, and then we would like to go a little bit further of also making it discretionary for the county attorney to serve. The health departments could request their participation if needed, but that there be a little more flexibility in that. The last item relates to creating the statutory authority for Colorado counties to enter into what is sometimes referred to as joint powers agreement, and it would actually allow us to enter into contracts with the state of New Mexico, Utah, Nevada being here in the Four Corners area. We have a need to be able to have these agreements across state lines. Most recently, the topic arose with respect to funding of the airport, improvements in that category, but we also certainly have a need for this, particularly with respect to law enforcement activities. So the state of New Mexico happens to have a statute that, as my understanding, works very well for them, and we would like an analogous situation so that we have the freedom to do that. I'm happy to answer any questions.
So, pending approval today, then what's the next step for these legislative items? They go to CCI for consideration?
Yes, and they'll prioritize them. They may have other questions that we can answer. They might have additional information that we don't, but then they prioritize them, I believe.
So the next step would be if you guys approve these to move them forward, I would send them on to CCI, and they would come back to us with questions if they wanted clarification or more information. And then they'll become part of the discussion with the commissioners at putting together the CCI legislative agenda for 2016.
Okay. And if I could fill in a little bit, I'm the representative to the legislative committee at CCI, and I would like some guidance from the commissioners for prioritization of these in terms of how we rank their how important they are, because typically what happens is, you know, you have maybe 30 recommended bills and CCI doesn't have the wherewithal to carry 30 bills, so they get narrowed down. And I could, you know, I will look to them for guidance too. A couple of these look like pretty easy fixes that on their face don't have natural organized opposition, so maybe there's an easy way to get the marijuana statute fixed and an easy way to deal with the attorneys on the child fatality review. I would like the ability to, you know, advocate more zealously for, I mean, from what I look at, it looks like the really biggie is the one for the multi-state agreements, and that you know, I just would like some guidance from you guys as to whether I can, you know, withdraw the question, so to speak, if it's a little piddly one that might be able to fix it a different way.
Commissioner Blake?
I kind of had the same thought. I don't know, Cheryl, if you had a recommendation, but
I would agree with what Commissioner Westendorf said.
I kind of had the same thought with marijuana. It seems like an easy fix. The child fatality seems like maybe even an easier fix.
And the reality on that one, so we have a regional child fatality team. There's three counties. I contacted the other county attorneys, and they don't intend on participating. So, I mean,
They just won't show up.
They're happy for me to go, and yeah, we might have to rotate that.
Okay. I'm fine with the state line being the priority.
And I would agree with that. I think that clearly should be our number one priority moving forward, the joint powers agreements. And typically every year there are a lot of bills that require technical amendments, things that just got missed in the, you know, fury of a legislative session. I think those are pretty readily handled every legislative season. So CCI will probably have some good recommendations for how to proceed with those technical matters.
That's good enough for me, just knowing that item number three will be the priority from our perspective.
Okay. Any other questions for staff?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Commissioners, further discussion on these three agenda items, which have now been prioritized?
I have no further questions.
All right. Commissioners, I would, I guess this is a public hearing. So does any member of the public wish to address the board on these three potential legislative matters? See nobody rushing to the podium. I will close the public comment and input period. And commissioners, I would stand for a motion.
I move that we approve, I would move that we approve the three issues giving authority to staff to convey to CCI, Inc. As part of the CCI's 2016 legislative agenda, the three issues that were discussed: authorization for local jurisdictions to issue licenses for medical marijuana testing facilities, modification of CRS 2520.5-404-3A7, which requires that each local or regional child fatality review team include each county attorney, and the third, the creation of statutory authority for Colorado counties to enter into joint powers agreements with public agencies outside of the state of Colorado to jointly exercise any common power to the contracting parties.
Thank you. We have a motion. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. We are on to reports. Commissioners, any reports that you would like to make to the public?
No.
Commissioner Blake?
I have no reports at this time.
All right, and I think my reports may be covered by staff. So we'll move to the county manager.
Commissioners, just to acknowledge that we had the first meeting of our county steering committee last Thursday. We did have 29 or 30 participants in that meeting, which was a great turnout. They have a follow-up meeting scheduled for July 15th or 16th. That date is still being resolved, but that will be their next meeting date, and that will be a publicly noticed meeting.
All right. Thank you. That was exactly the item I was hoping you would update us on. So, County Attorney, any updates?
I have nothing today. Thanks.
Wow. We're just moving along. We have two reports under department/elected official. We have the May 2015 financial status report written only, and the La Plata County comprehensive annual financial report presentation, which I believe we are continuing to the next business item.
That's correct, Commissioners. Under item number six, we were hoping to be able to make that presentation today, and we were prepared to do so. However, our finance director was in the process of finalizing the CAFR yesterday, and we just couldn't get the information to you far enough in advance so that you would have the appropriate time to look at it before the presentation today. So we are planning on providing that presentation at your next business meeting, which is July 14th.
I have a number of questions related to item 5, but I'm thinking that we should have the finance director here for that. So can we just punt that till she can talk about the both the CAFR and this May 15th or May 2015 financial report at that time?
Bet we can certainly do both of those on July 14th.
That would make sense to me.
Okay.
Commissioners, all in approval of moving those two items? Okay.
Yep.
All right. I don't think we need an official vote on that. Okay. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One and all.